The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Well, before I pose you a question, we have a birthday to celebrate this morning, don't we, Leah? Do you want to sing happy birthday to Leah? We'll sing to her? All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Leah. Well, if we're going to have a little competition about everything, who has, you think, has the most stuff out of each, any of you? You have more stuff? You have all of it with you. Who else brought some stuff with them? You brought your bear today? Yeah? You brought some erasers. So you own stuff. Who owns a lot of stuff? Right? Do you ever share your stuff with someone else? No? Okay. Well, you know, that's an honest answer. So, kind of. Some of the special stuff you don't share, but other things you do. Yeah, he's special. He's going to stay next to you, right? What's your tiger's name? Her name is Bicolus. Oh, Spica. That's a good one. Spikle?
Sparkle.
Sparkle, sorry. I have a bad ear. So, anyway, sorry. What if you had to share your stuff, all of your stuff, with someone? No? You wouldn't do that?
It depends.
It depends. What would it depend on? Depends on what you have. What if you owned a house? Would you share a house with someone?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah, I would share a house with someone.
Oh, with a pet. Okay, a pet. You have a dog, so you share your home with your pet. What would you do if someone asked you to sell your home and give it to someone else? And give all the money to someone else? Never? Never? Oh, my God. Well, you're going to hear a story today about what the apostles did and how some of them sold their homes. You'll learn about that today. So let's get off to Sunday school then. So.
A reading from Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 133 responsively. How good and how pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon flowing down upon the hills of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 John. We declare to you what was from the beginning. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life is revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have written these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in the darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After He said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Him, "We have seen the Lord." But He said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in His hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in His side, I will not believe." A week later, His disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered Him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in His name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Anyone else caught up with the wonderful aromas in the church this morning? Not only do we have from this direction these wonderful flowers. It's the lilies that close my throat. We have this aroma coming. And then from this way, we have the chili. The aromas of the chili. I see 8 pots of chili there that you can support Agape House by tasting the chili and putting your contribution in the particular one. I've somebody tried to bribe me this morning. I won't tell you who. My mother grew up in a family of 9 sisters, with 9 sisters. She was the 10th, not in that order, and 1 brother. So there was always a lot of people around. The oldest sister and the youngest sister in that family had exactly the same birthday, 20 years apart. So I was lucky enough to live until I was about 10, right next door to my grandmother and grandfather. And so whenever the girls came home, it was always a great celebration. The aunties would sit around the kitchen table, and the cousins that were lucky enough to be a part of that family gathering, we'd go underneath the table in the kitchen or in the dining room and listen to the stories that were being told. And my youngest sister, who's 13 years younger than I am, whenever we would start telling these stories, she would say, my favorite part of those family gatherings were the members. And, well, you mean like all the people there? And she said, no, the members. Remember when this happened? Remember when that happened? Remember when we went here? Remember when we did that? The members were the important part. She loved hearing that story, those stories. And then she would always add, was I born yet? Was I part of that? Was I there? Did I have that experience too? It wasn't just hearing the story, but it was knowing if I was part of it. That's what made the real difference. I think that might be key for Thomas too, in the story that we just heard. He wanted his own experience of Jesus. He didn't just want to be told by someone else, by the women who came, saw Jesus in the garden, or by the apostles who had seen Jesus in their very room. He wanted his own experience. So Jesus reached out his scarred hand in love and in tenderness, and he reached that hand out to Thomas. And he reaches it out to us, the ones who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Last week I read in Christian Century, a journal magazine that I get, this piece of poetry titled In the Meantime by Barry Shepherd. I want to share this with you. Strange how we all seemed to find our way back here after yesterday's horror and shame, back to this upstairs chamber filled with dark corners, old gestures of brokenness, sad echoes of pouring, of song, and of prayer. None of us spoke much, looked each other in the eye. Too much to hide, too much to fear, to forget. Little sleep was had, anxious listening instead for the tramp of the temple guard, fist on the door, the harsh accusation. Must try to eat something now. Think of a plan for tomorrow. Find courage to go seek for his body, lay him to rest. Maybe the women can find where he lies, safer for them after all. Give it a couple more days. Then try to slip out by one of the lesser gates, get back to Galilee, fix up the boats and nets. Who'd have thought when we left it would come to this? Who'd have thought we'd all run off, hide, leave him to die alone? Who'd have thought when he spoke of the cross it would all come to pass? Who'd have thought? Well, those were the thoughts going through the apostles' minds when Jesus came and stood among them. They had locked the doors out of fear. Maybe they thought of getting out of town, but their fear kept them locked inside. Our gospel tells us that on that day, the day of the resurrection, they were behind the closed doors because they were afraid. On Easter night, they were behind the locked doors. And then a week later, they were still huddled behind those locked doors. They were frightened, unsure, and not filled with much belief. Who'd have thought? This is the team that is going to carry out the transforming message of Jesus Christ? We probably all know what those disciples were doing. We know how it feels to be wanting to lock ourselves behind strong doors. We know how it feels to want to hide from things that frighten or confuse us. We don't literally bar the door like the disciples did on that Easter weekend. What we tend to do is to close our minds, to seal off our hearts. We hide away our worries, our insecurities, our addictions, our illnesses, our grudges, our unforgiven past, our relationships that are less than whole or healthy, our self-righteousness, our pride. We hide those things behind those locked doors. We hide behind and lock up our sins and our scars. But this story is about much more than locked doors and fear. There is good news. There is great news in this story for the disciples and for us. First of all, this gospel tells us that we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay behind locked doors with all of our stuff that we want to keep hidden away. The good news is that God has gone through those locked doors, as John tells us he did on that Easter day, and that God comes to us today through our locked doors. Jesus didn't wait for the disciples to believe the words of the women who had seen the empty tomb or to figure out what exactly had happened on Easter morning. He didn't wait for them to stop being afraid and unlock the doors and welcome him in. He didn't wait for them to do anything or to be anything different. He showed up. He offered them peace. And he loved them. That's all. And he showed them his scars. That's what he did on that first Easter evening. And then a week later when Thomas was there. And that's what he does for us today. He comes through the locked doors and steps right into the middle of our messy lives. He offers us peace and forgiveness. And he loves us. That's what the resurrected Lord does. He shows us his scars. And when God loves us, God doesn't stop there. God invites us to respond. He stepped into the cloudy, doubt-filled world of Thomas and invited him to touch his wounds and see for himself what the others had told him. And he does the same thing for us. But really, it's just the opposite. Jesus reaches out and touches our wounds and invites us to believe. And just like on that first Easter, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. God gave his disciples God's power, his grace and guidance. Breathed on them and gave them forgiveness. This is the Spirit that is given at our baptism, the gift of the Spirit that we remember in the sprinkling and that we remember with the bright Paschal candle that burns in our midst. This is the gift that we have been given over and over again as God reaches out to us and makes us his own new creation, makes us members of his body. When Jesus breathed holy breath on the disciples, there was no immediate change. A week later, they were still hiding behind those locked doors. The wonderful good news of forgiveness and peace and the power of the Holy Spirit just sat there. It took them a while to understand. Their coming to believe and to act on that belief was a process that they gradually grew into. And isn't that the way it happens with us too? We live in process, gradually growing more and more in our faith and in our understanding, gradually understanding more and more what it means to be free and forgiven and loved by God, gradually growing from the 7-year-old who says, "Absolutely not, I will never share anything," to those of you who have grown in your faith and know that sharing is more than sharing your stuff, but sharing your lives in a Christian community. When the disciples discovered that they had grown in their faith, that's when they stepped out of that locked room and followed Jesus' command to be servants. It was only then, when they stepped out in faith, not knowing at all what they were going to say, they discovered within them the ability and the strength that Jesus had given them. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, was able to proclaim bold truths that we heard in our first readings today. They didn't know that they had the fire of the Holy Spirit until they started to speak to others. We don't know that we have the Spirit and the power within us until we start using it. That's when things change. It wasn't that their fears went away and that the world changed. I would guess that they were still scared and lonely and full of doubts, but something had changed. Jesus was with them, and they knew that. They knew that was true in a way that they had never imagined. They weren't just remembering stories from the past, but they were experiencing the presence of Jesus right now. And that's true for us as well. Jesus walked through the doors of our lives and came to us in love. He has breathed on us the breath of the Holy Spirit, and he has forgiven and given us his peace. And he has sent us into the world just as he was sent by the Father and he sent the disciples. This is the truth of Easter. We have been sent to tell the world that truth. And we tell that truth by loving one another as Jesus loves. That's the work of the church. We are to reveal God to the world by loving and forgiving one another. When the world sees God through our love, through our forgiveness, the world can then choose to be in a relationship with this God of limitless love. Our mission, the mission of this faith community, is not to be the arbiter of right or wrong, but to bear unceasing witness to the love of God in Christ Jesus. What a freeing Easter message this is. Tell the world that Jesus Christ is alive, that he is breathing out love and forgiveness and peace for all of us. And tell the world, too, that our God has scars, and we don't have to hide our scars or be afraid or hide our doubts or our questions. Jesus comes into the locked rooms of our messy lives and offers us peace and forgiveness. He invites us to touch his wounds and be healed. And he touches our wounds, our scars, and invites us to believe. This isn't just a story that we're overhearing from our hiding places. This is happening to us right now. God is inviting us to hear, to experience, to taste, to be the body of Christ in the world, scars and all. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.